truth there. James chapter 1, if you will, James chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 19 through verse 21 this evening. James chapter 1, verse 19 through verse 21. And of course, here in the book of James, he's talking to these believers who were scattered abroad, the tribes there. And he has told them to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And he's told them that they need to keep the faith. They need to ask in faith, nothing wavering, ask for wisdom. And he's gone through a lot of truths with them. I want you to notice here in James 1, verse 19 through 21, the Bible says this: "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have just to just learn from your word this evening. Lord, I pray that we'd never take for granted way that we can own a copy of your word. Lord, we're so blessed here in America to have this religious freedom that we have. And Lord, I pray that we would hide your word in our heart. And Lord, I pray you'd burden us also for ones around this world that may not have that freedom that we have. But Lord, I pray that we would hear your word this evening, and Lord, that you would do a great work in our hearts this evening. I pray, Lord, whatever each person is dealing with tonight, whatever struggle they're going through, whatever pain they may have, I pray that you would touch them in a very special way this evening. And Lord, I pray we'd draw closer to you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in the book of James, we see that the penman, James, is expounding on a truth here that believers should live in a way that points others to Christ. In the first chapter, as we've studied thus far, we've seen the reality of temptation, the reality of trials, the reality of struggles in the life of a believer. And all of us could say for certain that though the Christian life is a blessed life, though it's a great life, and I wouldn't want to live any other life, we could also say that there are trials. There are things that we go through, and praise the Lord, He helps us through those things. But there are temptations. That is a reality in our life. But praise the Lord, as we went through this first chapter here to the place in which we are this evening, though we have read of temptations, we have also read of the presence of the Lord through those things. And I would hate to go through some of the things that I've been through and that all of us have been through without the Lord. What a terrible thing that would be to go through life without the comfort that only God can give. Aren't you thankful for God's unending presence in the lives of His children? What a wonderful thing that is. We should rejoice for that. God is so good to us. And here in this passage that we read here tonight, we see that the writer, he's no longer discussing just the reality of temptation, but he begins to get to the bare bones of the Christian life. And what we find in this passage here tonight will determine whether or not we are going to live the victorious Christian life. What we find in this passage and what we'll get into next week as well is the truth here that we are told to do something as believers, and we are told to look to a certain place. So this evening, I'd like to preach to you a message that I have entitled this: Am I swift or slow? Am I swift or slow? Look at there in verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Here in this passage, we see that there is a list of things that are given in the first few verses. And we see here, notice down in verse 22, it says this: "But be ye doers of the..." What's that word? Word. Be ye doers of the word, not what man's word is, not what the word of Fox News or CNN or anything like that. No, we're not to be doers of those things. We are to be doers of the word of God. And it tells us exactly what we should be doing here in verse 19. And I truthfully believe if we could get down these three commands here in verse 19, we would save ourselves a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache. If we were swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We are to be doers of the word. We as believers, we are not to just hear the truth and do nothing with the truth. We are to hear it, and we are called to be doers as well. In the New Testament, it is believed to have over 1,050 different commands for believers. In the New Testament, these are things that we are commanded to do and also things that we are commanded not to do. So we're going to look here this evening, and based on what we see here in verse 19, we see that we are instructed to do three things. And if we are not living in obedience to this list, it's my prayer that the Lord would help us this evening to follow Him in this way. So notice, first of all, the first question we're going to ask ourselves is this. Am I swift to hear? Am I swift to hear? Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Now, this is a verse, a command, if you will, a question here that we would all like to say, well, of course I'm swift to hear. We'd like to say that we hear God when He speaks, but this is not just speaking of general hearing. Oftentimes, this verse will be used when you're dealing with someone, when you're talking to someone, being swift to hear and slow to speak and all of that. And there's an application for that, but what we see is in verse 19 through verse 27, the Bible is talking here, this writer, Pastor James here, is telling them that they are to be hearers and doers of the Word of God. Many times we are swift to hear things that we should not be hearing. We're quick to tune our ear into things that are not going to help us. This, when it says here that let every man be swift to hear, it is not just speaking of the general sense of hearing, but this means that we are giving our full attention to something. We should be swift to hear the Word of God. When the Word of God is being preached, whether it's we're doing our devotions and God is speaking to us from His Word, or whether we are in an assembly like we are here this evening and the Word of God is being preached, can I help us here tonight? The Word of God is the most important thing going on at that moment. What God wants to speak to us, and we cannot miss that. This here also not only giving our full attention to something, but it also means this, that we are listening with the intent to obey what we're going to hear. We need to be swift to hear the Word of God, not so that we can impress someone with how much of the Word of God that we know. I can remember there was a man that I worked with when I worked in Middletown Chick-fil-A, and this man, he had been saved for many years. He had he didn't grow up in church, but he was saved as a young man, and had spent quite a bit of time in church. He was brought up Independent Fundamental Baptist, if you will, as a young man. He could quote scripture to me, arguably better than anyone I had ever heard. But this man was not swift to hear. He knew what the Word of God said, but he was an alcoholic. He knew what the Word of God said, but he would have curse words flying out of his mouth. I could be talking to someone about something at work, and he would know the exact verse and be quoting it along with me. He knew the Word of God, but he was not swift to hear. He did not have the heart to obey. He did not have the intent to obey what he was hearing. What we read in this verse, along with verse 22, we see that it is speaking of being swift to hear what God has to say. But quite often, the opposite is true. Isn't it true that we as mankind, we seem to rush to what man has to say? When we hear that something's going on, what do we do? We want to turn on the news. You want to see what's going on. You want to know what's going on in the world. Just open up Facebook. You'll find out what's not going on. Just the opinions of people. Amen. But we want to open those things. We want to know what man's saying. We want to know what man's opinion is on all of these things. I truthfully believe that we as believers, we would be more adamant witnesses, more faithful Christians, if we were as swift to hear what God has to say as we are what this world has to say. Lord, help us to get that straight in our life. We need to be swift to hear. But many times we run to what mankind has to say. We want to be in the know. We want to get the dirt, if you will, on someone else. We want to hear the ins and outs of the situation. We want all of the details. We want all of the latest news. We want all of the latest gossip. Why is that? So that we can go and tell someone else exactly what we just heard. Would to God that we would leave the house of God being excited about telling someone what God had just told us from His Word. Lord, help us to be swift to hear as we look at this passage here, and it says be swift to hear. That's exactly what we need to do. Yet when it comes to the Word of God, though we're so quick to hear what man has to say, when it comes to the Word of God, we read just enough to soothe our conscience for the day. You know, it is, as of just a couple of months ago, a study had been done, and the average person spends between 6 and 8 hours a day looking at their at the screen on their phone or on their laptop there. I believe this world would be a different place if we as believers spent 6 to 8 hours a day in the Word of God. Amen. But the truth is, we're so worried about what's going on in this world. When the service is happening, we come in, we listen to the message, and we walk out the door, and many times we're guilty of not allowing the truth of God's Word to change our hearts and our lives. We care more about what so-and-so said to us or about how this person was acting than we do about the Word of God. And before we straighten up our halos this evening and say, well, that's not how I am. I care about the Word of God. Let me ask you this. What do we talk about around the lunch table on Sunday afternoon? It's about what so-and-so said to us. Very rarely is it about what was preached in the message that morning. Very rarely is it about how God spoke to our heart that day. Very rarely is it about what God's doing in our lives. Why? Because we're oftentimes swift to hear the wrong things. Lord, help us to hear the Word of God. Very rarely do we share with someone the message that the Lord had given to us that day from His Word. Listen, these are things that we all deal with, and we need to get this right in our lives, because understand this, it is impossible for us to do what we see in verse 22 when it says, "But be ye doers of the Word." It's impossible for us to do that if we are not swift to hear the Word of God. We may put on a show for a little bit of time, but we will not be the doers that we are called to be. We will be hearers only if we are not swift to hear what God has to say to us. Isn't it true that a person cannot be saved without hearing the Word of God? What's the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to put great emphasis on the Word of God by hearing the Word of God. Turn back a few pages, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, we see a truth that's given here. But we also see a powerful word, and that word is this: if. Look at verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Notice there, if ye will hear His voice. We have to make the conscious decision every single day and moments throughout the day as well that we want to hear the voice of God. It is impossible for us to be swift to hear the Word of God if we are not willing to listen to what God has to say. We must be willing to hear what God wants us to know. We have a choice whether or not we hear the Word of God. And remember, hearing is the intent to obey. Look at Luke chapter 8, if you will. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, of course, this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given the parable of the sower. We won't read the whole parable here this evening, but I want to look at verse 15 and pull out a piece of this verse. Notice it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, notice, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That hearing that it's talking about there is hearing with the intent to obey. That word is not always going to be easy to hear, but it's always going to be there for us to hear. Notice, if ye will hear his voice. Sometimes it is a cutting away that God wants to do in our life. But either way, whether it's something that we find as encouraging or something that hurts us, if you will, we need to understand that it will do us all good to hear the word of God. Hear it and keep it. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 35. Matthew 13, verse 13. Matthew 13, verse 13 through 15. Here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 through 15, the Bible says this: therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. There in verse 15, when it says for the people's heart is waxed gross, that waxed gross, it means this: calloused over. There's an awful lot of people whose hearts are calloused over. Even believers, they may have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, but they're not hearing the Word of God. They have no desire to grow in the Word of God. Understand, their heart is waxed gross. Their ears, notice there, are dull of hearing. It says there, it doesn't say that they're not hearing what is being said. They hear the words, but they do not have an intent to obey what is being said. This passage, I believe, is where most believers are living. They've trusted Christ. They have heard the word of God. They may hear it as words, but they do not hear the word of God with the intent to obey, because their heart has calloused over. That word gross, it also means thick. It also means fat. And of course, as I mentioned, callous as well. Church, we may be in the house of God. We may be taking up space on this facility here. We may be taking up space on that church pew, but are we swift to hear what God has to say? What are we allowing to go into our ears? What are we allowing to play throughout our day? What we hear affects us. It does. Lord, help us to be swift to hear the word of God. There was an operating room, and there was some banter going on there. And it says the banter of the operating room may have to be toned down if new research on unconscious awareness in patients under total anesthesia is borne out. Surgeons have taken their patients' oblivion as a license for talking as though the patient were not there, even making remarks that patients would find frightening if they heard. But two research groups report that what these patients hear can affect them, and what the patient hears, say a remark like, as the surgeon is working, if the surgeon says something like this, he's a goner, you know, oftentimes they have found they would lose that patient. It's a terrible thing. It could have an adverse effect on his recovery. It's an amazing thing in these studies here. Of course, we know God's in control, but what I'm saying is this: what we hear affects what we do. What we hear affects how we act. In one study, these patients heard a taped voice tell them during surgery that they should signify having heard the message by touching their ears in a post-operative interview. Later in the interview, the patients tugged at their ears, but none of them could remember hearing that message. These are studies that have been done. Dr. Bennett, a psychologist now at the University of California Medical School at Davis, reports that when patients were given a suggestion during surgery that one hand was becoming warmer than the other, the hand's temperature did so while they were under anesthesia. There was negative remarks, there was positive remarks, and they could see that what the patient heard was oftentimes having an effect on their life, often an effect on their recovery. Isn't it so interesting to study the correlation between what we hear and what we do physically, but yet we tend to just discount it, if you will, when it comes to the things spiritually. Well, I know what the Word of God says, so it's okay if I miss church. It's okay if I don't do that, because I know what the Word of God says. But yet, all throughout the rest of the week, we've got the world's junk flowing in and out of our life, flowing into our ears. Understand, we need to be swift to hear the Word of God. And we need to be slow to hear the world's philosophy. So first of all, we ask ourselves this: am I swift to hear? Notice, second of all here, am I slow to speak? Am I slow to speak? Here in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Another area we need to give our attention to, and the truth is, there's a member of our body that the Bible says that no man can tame. And that member is a small member, and it's a member called the tongue. You know, if you study the Word of God and you study the tongue, you are going to want to rip it out because of what the Word of God says about it. There's no good thing said about our tongue. It's a terrible thing, and it gets ourselves into trouble. You know why? Because we all have all kinds of things to say. You know, we think in our mind that everyone wants to hear what we have to say as well. Well, everyone wants to know what I know. Well, just keep thinking that. We won't tell you otherwise. But all of us think that people want to hear what we have to say. We feel the need to make our voices heard. Even when it's not a matter of importance, we want attention. We want to speak. We want people to hear us. Therefore, we are not slow to speak, as the Bible says. But oftentimes, we are swift to speak. It would be okay if we could reverse those things in our mind, amen. If we were slow to hear what this world has to say, and oftentimes, of course, we need to be swift to speak the Word of God. But in the reality, oftentimes we are swift to talk to God about what we need, or about what we think about how we should live, when the Word of God says here to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And in reality, oftentimes we are awfully quick to speak and we get ourselves into trouble. And the truth is, when the Word of God is proclaimed, can I help us here tonight? It doesn't matter what our opinion is. Doesn't matter at all. Not one time do we see in the Word of God where it would say, like in the beginning of the book of James, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, God told me, just put my thoughts in this book. No, this is what God told them to write. This is God's Word. This is the authority. This is what we are to hear. God doesn't ask for our opinions, but boy, do we like to give them. People like to say things like this: Well, I know what the Bible says, but I think, let me try to find a passage here where it says it matters what we think. It doesn't. It's what the Bible says. It's what God says. God does not ask for man's opinion. Nowhere will you find that Paul is able to just say how he thinks things should be done. And God does not give him liberty to do that. No, these are the inspired and preserved words of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not of man. of God. God is in control. Let's not feel as though we need to add our 2 cents to the Word of God. Let's take it for what it says. This slow to speak here, it's not saying that we can never speak. Of course, we know that the Word of God, it tells us that we are to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things. There's things that we are to say. But understand, when it comes to the Word of God, we need to be swift to hear it and slow to argue with God about what it says. We shouldn't argue with God. But boy, do we. We need to be quicker to hear. And when we speak, it needs to be from a heart that longs for the truth. You know, there is a difference in someone questioning the Word of God and someone asking questions so that they can be grounded further in the truth. But there's an awful lot of believers today who are questioning what the Word of God says. Lord, help us. The Word of God, it is our guidebook. It is going to teach us in all of these things. But we need to go to the Word of God, realizing it has the answers. Man does not have the answers. The Word of God does. And let's be slow to speak. Let's be swift to hear. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, if you will. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says this: in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, if you have multitude of words, there's going to be plenty of sinful things there. There is a sin just wants to come from our lips. It wants to come from that tongue that we talked about. It wants to question the Word of God. It wants to question what God has to say, but not in a way in which we can be grounded more in the truth. Our flesh wants to look in the Bible for some reason to discount the Bible. When you find someone who only wants to talk about what they would call their belief in the Bible, you're going to find yourself in a mess. It's not about what our belief is. It's about what the Bible says. It's about this is God's Word, therefore I believe it. Our belief does not make it facts. It being the inspired, preserved Word of God makes it the authority. Be careful when someone points to their belief more than they point to the Word of God. We should be swift to hear. We should be slow to speak. We should understand this is what God's Word says. Therefore, that is what I'm going to believe. And then notice lastly here, the last question is this: am I slow to wrath? Am I slow to wrath? This word wrath comes from the Greek word orge, which means to incite pain. But not only physical pain, but emotional and verbal pain as well. You know, if there's something that people are good at, it's inciting pain with words. You know, we can cut someone down quick and we can be very unkind to people. And if there is something that unfortunately many believers are known for, it is for being swift to wrath. Lord, help us. Because the Word of God says we are to be slow to wrath. Can I help us here this evening? It's not our job to be the Holy Spirit for someone else. God's got that under control. And we should be speaking the truth. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. I'm not against standing up for what is right, but it's not our job to clean someone else's life up. It's not our job to make them faithful to the Lord. It's not our job to get them dressing in a way that we think is appropriate. That is not our job. We are to declare the truth, but only the Holy Spirit can change their heart. Only the Holy Spirit can clean them up. But many times we as Christians, we tear people down and we're swift to wrath and all of that. And we're so focused on what they are on the outside. And many times we forget that God had to clean us up from the inside out, and He has to do the same thing for them. And He'll do it. But we need to be slow to wrath. Not one time in Scripture are we told that we are justified to be unkind and rude to people, no matter what they have done to us or against us, whether it's close family or a complete stranger. We are never justified in cutting them down. We are to be slow to wrath. When an individual or a family comes into the church, maybe they get saved and trying to grow in the Lord. It is our job as the church, as the brothers and sisters in Christ, to love them as Christ does. It is not our job to force them into some mold immediately. No, our job is to pray for them and to encourage them and pray that the Lord would work on their heart from His Word. Why? Because every one of us were in that spot. And if it weren't for the grace of God, all of us would be burning in a place called hell. Lord, help us to be slow to wrath. Every one of us need to see people the way God sees them. Oftentimes we allow ourselves to focus on the growth that we want to see happen in their lives, and we cut them up and we chew them up and spit them out, and whether it be to their face or behind their back, understand if we are acting that way, if we are talking about them more than we are praying for them, we need to get on our knees before an almighty God and confess that sin unto God. Let's pray for these people. Pray for one another. Satan would like nothing more than to sift us as wheat. And many times he's allowed the wrath of God's people to keep someone from serving the Lord. If it were not for the grace of God, we would all be lost and on our way to hell. And none of us are where we ought to be spiritually. What's the Bible say? We're all undone. Every one of us, we're undone. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, if you will. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 16 as well. Notice Proverbs 14, 17. And this is a verse that can be applied to any area of our life. Notice here in Proverbs 14, 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. If you're quick to wrath, the Bible says you're foolish. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, 32, the Bible says this: He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. A person who can have their anger under control and have their tongue under control, understand what the Bible is saying here. You're mightier than the mightiest. If you can control your anger, the Bible says here in that passage in verse 32, at the end of the verse, that you are better than he that taketh a city. You would say, well, that's a pretty tall task to take a city. It's an even greater task to keep ourselves under subjection and to not lash out at people. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, if you will. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. The Bible speaking of the same exact truth there. And it says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know what is true is this. If you are a person who is quick to anger, if you're a person who is not slow to wrath, like the Bible says, notice you're also resting with other people who are quick to anger. It says there that you are there with fools. You rest in the bosom of fools. That's exactly who you're going to be with. We know the old saying that birds of a feather flock together. I can guarantee you this. If you're a joyful person that is an encouraging person to others, you will be uncomfortable around someone that is always cutting people down. You will be. Lord, help us. We need to see that we need to be slow to wrath. Many people get upset and even angry when the word of God is proclaimed. They want to argue the truth of God's word. They want to begin to question its legitimacy when the preacher proclaims the word of God. Unbelief will oftentimes get upset, and they're oftentimes quick to wrath because it hits a nerve, if you will. And the Holy Spirit tells them this needs to change in your life. And they know that in their mind, well, it's foolish to say that I'm mad at God, so I'll get mad at the preacher instead. You know the old saying, don't shoot the messenger, amen. We're preaching the word of God. But that's exactly how we are. We are quick to wrath many times. Something I believe that will help us in all of these areas is realizing the truth that we see in verse 21. Notice it says there, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Church, every one of us are filthy. All of us. Therefore, we need to be swift to hear the word of God. We're all filthy. Therefore, we need to realize that we need the cleansing of the word of God. God doesn't need our words. And can I help us here tonight? This world does not need the words that we have to say. This world needs the words that God already said. That's what we are to be teaching to people. I've used the illustration many times. I've knocked on doors and someone, multiple people have said something like this. Well, you're just trying to make me Baptist. I said, no, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. Being a Baptist is not going to get you to heaven. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. It's not about the words that we have to say as independent fundamental Baptists. No, everybody needs to know what the Word of God says. But how are we going to tell it to them if we are not swift to hear, if we are not hearing with the intention of obeying it, if we are not slow to speak, as the Bible says, if we're always arguing with what the Word of God says, or if we're not slow to wrath, we're always cutting people down. Understand, in this part of the book of James here, he's tying all of this together into verse 22. If you want to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self, he says you must be swift to hear. You must be slow to speak. And you must be slow to wrath. I think all of us would say we want to be doers of the word of God. I don't think any of us would say that I don't want to be a doer of the Word of God. No, we're here on a Sunday evening hearing the Word of God preached because we want to know what God's Word says. Lord, help us to put all of these things into practice here this evening. Let's realize that we're all filthy. We all need the Lord. We can all do better. So when it comes to these things here that we're discussing this evening, when it comes to being swift to hear, are we? When's the last time the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart from a message and you made a decision, whether it was there in your pew or coming to the altar, and you said, Lord, you spoke to me about this, therefore this is what I'm going to do. When's the last time you made that decision? When's the last time you thought about the decision that you made? In my office there, I've got a section on one of the bookshelves that's got different books on it from different men's meetings that I've been to and teen camps we've been counselors at and all of that. And in the back of all of those books, it's got a page, and it's at the top it says decisions. And through every message, we're encouraged to write down a decision. You know what I'll do every once in a while? I'll pull one of those randomly off the shelf. And though the notes that I took on messages may be great and I can learn from them, I'll turn to that decision page. You know what happens many times? The Holy Spirit smites my heart and says, you told me you were going to do that and you didn't do it. That means I wasn't swift to hear. I was hearing it. I heard the word come forth, but I didn't apply it to my heart. When's the last time we made a decision and we stuck with that decision? We can all do better. Are we swift to hear? Are we slow to speak? Do we listen to what God has to say more than what man has to say? Are we slow to speak? Are we not arguing with the Word of God, but just taking it for what it says and says, this is what I'm going to do because that's what God said? And then also, are we slow to wrath? Lord, help us to put all these things into play. So when it comes to hearing and speaking and wrath, am I swift? Am I swift?